Hello and welcome to another exclusive interview here on Two Sports Nuts. John Mulhern flying solo today. We're being joined by head coach Derek Laxdal. He currently coaches the Edmonton Oil Kings. Just won the Memorial Cup. Coach, thanks for trying to find a little bit of time for me here before you get away from everything.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on today, John.
Coach, your resume over the past few years, I met you when you were down here in Idaho with the Idaho Steelheads. That's how, fortunately, we were able to make the connection here. You went to two ECHL finals, three WHL finals, three Memorial Cups. We'll touch on that in a minute. Those are just the finals you've been to. When you've gotten to the finals, you've won a Kelly Cup in the ECHL. You've won two Western Hockey League championships. And now you personally have won two Memorial Cups, I believe, is the one with the Oil Kings currently and then one back in your playing days. You have a pretty good history of getting to and winning some of these finals.
Well, you know what? I've been very, very lucky to it's tough just to get to be a part to be a win one final, but to win not only that, I won a Calder Cup in the American Hockey League with the Springfield Indians as a player. So I've been very fortunate and very blessed to have been a champion one, two, three, four, five, six times. So it's pretty fortunate.
You run out of fingers to put all those extra rings on, Coach.
Well, you know what? It's been pretty special. Obviously, winning the Memorial Cup is probably the hardest trophy in sports to win, because not only do you have to win your league, you've got to go up against three other leagues. It's like winning the Stanley Cup and playing the champions from three other NHL leagues and then being crowned that champion. That's how tough it is to win.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, you have all these teams. You know, you look at the NHL, we use that as the example. You play through your league, you make it to the playoffs, and then clearly you have the top, the best of the best in the NHL, but you only have to get through four teams once you get into the playoffs. For the Memorial Cup, you've got to get through your four other teams in your bracket, win the whole championship. And then you have, depending on when your season ends or where everything is, you have about a week, maybe 2 weeks off. Then you have to amp everything back up again. How do you keep the guys focused for that long time?
First of all, you're wrong on that part. You don't have a week or 2 weeks off. You've got 2 days off.
Okay.
When you go to a seven-game series, we got home on a Tuesday, and we were on a plane on a Wednesday, playing on Saturday. So you ramp it up pretty quick. So you come out of playing almost 72-game regular season schedule. At least, you know, you're looking at 25, 26 playoff games. So you're up to about, you know, 92 or 93 games right there. And then now you're playing the three-round robin games plus the semifinals and the finals. So totally this year we played 98 games to win two trophies. And to win the Western Hockey League is quite a feat. And we've won that two of the last 3 years, been in the finals the last 3 years. And then you've got to turn around and ramp it up and get into a tournament where you're playing the best of the best. And the style changes, the intensity changes. It just becomes such a whirlwind with the media-driven circus that's around it.
Talk about the WHL finals, because I think that's real interesting. The last 3 years you mentioned you were there, you played Portland, the Winterhawks, all three times. You're 2-1 against them. Those two teams, I hesitate to say that they're the class of the league, but when you make three straight championships, you kind of have to put you guys in separate columns. Why are you two teams so good?
Well, if you look at this, we've been to the finals the last 3 years with Portland. Portland's actually been to the finals for the last 4 years, and they've gone 1-3 in those finals. So you can imagine how disheartening it is for them. Not only that, you don't get a chance to take a crack at the Memorial Cup. And when they got a crack at it last year, they lost in the finals to that great Halifax team. So it just shows you how hard it is to get there and win it. And, you know, both organizations have great, great general managers. I think they get great coaching staff and done a great job of developing their players. So it's quite an honor to be a part of this organization. Obviously, we're very humble to be that fortunate to get to the finals 3 years in a row. And that's what your goals are every year. Your goals are set that, hey, we want to have a great regular season. We want our players to get better as the season goes along. And if we get a chance to take a run in the playoffs, we want to get better as the playoffs come and grow as a team and make sure that we gel and just move forward.
Coach, you've been up in Edmonton for 4 years now. The team was fairly new when you moved up there. They came off of a 16-win season. You turned that into almost 40. Now you've gone three straight years with 50 wins. I believe, a little bit of my research, I think Ken Hitchcock was the only other junior league coach to go three straight years with 50 wins. Is that correct?
No, I'm the first coach in the history of the WHL to have three 50-win seasons in a row. I think there's another team that had three 50 wins, but they weren't in a row. So I was the first coach in the history to have that, which is quite an honor. But it just shows you how balanced this league is and how tough it is. I'm not sure we'll get close to 50 or 40 next year, but that's a goal we'll set. We try and set for that 40 range.
The interesting thing that I've been talking to you in the past, we had you on, especially your first year out of Idaho when you were up there, we talked to you a little bit, and you had a certain plan as you went along. And in junior league, you get kids for, you know, 3, maybe 4 years if you get lucky with them, and the NHL teams don't come pulling them away, or they don't age out for one reason or another. But you were, and earlier this week, you talked about that you really thought that this year, based on who you had coming back, you kind of really planned for this year to be a real successful season.
Well, not this year would be our plan. Last year would have been our plan if you look at the trades you made, the deadline, and just the evolution of the kids becoming 18, 19. The first year we went to the World Cup 2 years ago, we thought we arrived a year early. And then last year, you know, we had a pretty good year, 108 points, and we had two of our major players hurt in the finals, so we probably could have got to the World Cup again, but we lost to Portland in 6 games. We had a hell of a hockey club. And this year, you know, our model was just build. We had a pretty good core of players. You know, our young goaltender, Tristan Jarry, who was drafted by Pittsburgh, is only 18 years old. This was his first year of basically playing because he played behind such a great goaltender and Laurent Brossoit. And then obviously some of our young defensemen, Dyson Mayo and Aaron Irving, who are both 17, took major strides with their hockey club. And a few of our young forwards, Brett Pollock, who's 17, and Eddie Kulda, who's 19. Just these guys took steps, and we had a great core with a stud defenseman, Griffin Reinhardt, coming back, Curtis Lazar, Henrik Samuelsson. You know, these guys are all first-rounders that two of the three will be moving on to the pros, but Curtis Lazar could come back for a hockey club. And everything just fell into place. We made a couple good trades for some solid 20s. And the one thing we had this year, John, is we had a team that real bonded. You could call us, in the term of the word, a real team. Guys played hard for each other. We had a little bit of inspiration last year. One of our fellow teammates 2 years ago, Christian Peltz, a Latvian forward drafted by the Oilers, passed away this summer in an accident in Latvia. And our guys really bonded and had some great inspiration. If you watch the video on our website, number 26 was held up, Christian Peltz. And that was kind of a rallying cry or a rallying point for our hockey club all year, just played for Peltz. And it really provided a lot of inspiration for our hockey club. And so will we get back to where we were this year? That's going to be our goal, and it's up to our coaches to find a way to motivate and mold these players.
Talk a little bit about the regular season in the WHL, and I try and track it as best I can. Obviously, all you can really do is look at stats and records and things like that. You mentioned that last year was part of the plan, and this year you had to kind of develop. The last couple of seasons, not this past year, but 2 years ago and last season, you would go on runs during the regular season. You'd run 10 wins off in a row, 12 wins off in a row, and by the time you got to the end of the regular season, you were pretty well settled into that number one seed in your side of the conference. This year, I think you kind of mentioned a little bit, it wasn't necessarily a struggle, but you had to really kind of build up to the crescendo at the end of the year as opposed to running roughshod over the conference and over the league.
Well, in junior hockey, if you might lose 4 to 10 players a year just with guys graduating, and you usually your first part of the season, it's a bit of an adjustment period, building period, and guys are just kind of settling in the team. But you know how I coach, Don. I have a segment board. We have 9 8-game mm-hmm. segments. We break everything down into small goals. And, you know, in the last 2 years of the 18 segments, we've hit 16 out of 18. And we've had you only can get a possible max points you can get is 16 points. And we've done that 3 times. I know in Idaho, I was there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think it was only once that we hit a max points, 16 points in a one segment. That just shows you how hard it is in ECHL because of the player movement in the American Hockey League. But in junior, you mold your team and your team's going in the right direction, you can really, gain some points and run some numbers up. And it's just great for us to kind of put everything in a small goal situation. And it's too hard to say to the kids, hey, we need to have 50 wins here by the end of the year. It's just too much pressure on them. And I think it's too much pressure at any level. So it's great to break these goal segments into smaller groupings.
One of the big differences between the ECHL where you were and the WHL is, first of all, I think you're going to see more draft picks in the WHL than you'll see in the ECHL, or at least you'll see them on the way up as opposed to maybe on the way down. But the second thing is that the player movement really isn't there in the junior leagues. And that, as you mentioned a couple of times, really helps you develop a team as opposed to the ECHL where you were, where it's, all right, I have this group this week, and next week I've got to find four new guys.
Well, you're exactly right, John, and that's one of the reasons I left the ECHL is because we build so long to have a great team during the year. We get to the finals. You're missing your two best players. There's no way you can compete. And what a way to let these kids down is like, why are we asking these kids to go give it everything they've got and they get to the finals, and then they're robbed of an opportunity with being able to put the best team on the ice, because the American League really doesn't care what happens in the ECHL. And that was one of the main reasons I left. It was a great city and a great opportunity. And in the Western Hockey League, you get a chance to mold these kids. You have them for 3 years, which you don't really see that much, maybe a couple guys in the ECHL. And you get a chance to really mold your program, build your culture, and, you know, and have that stability and have that success moving forward. You're going to have some lean years just because the, you know, if you finish so strong every year, you kind of, you get bumped down in the draft area. So it takes a while to build up. But if you can continue staying in the middle of the pack and then start building as you have that down year, it keeps it a lot easier. And that's when you want to have that winning culture. And it's a lot easier to do that in the Western League than it is in the ECHL. Unless, you know, in the ECHL, if you slide a little money under the table, it's a little easier.
Money can solve a lot of problems, especially if it's cash.
Well, it works. It works in those leagues, but it doesn't work in the NHL.
That's the truth. They got the pens pretty tight up there in the NHL on who gets what and how much. Coach, I want to get back to the WHL finals. Game 6, home ice, chance to clinch the WHL, go to the Memorial Cup, 3-0 lead, 5-2 lead, and then you end up losing in an overtime to Portland. Your message going from Game 6 to Game 7, what was it? Because whatever you said, the team came out, you know, hair on fire and took care of business in Game 7 on the road in what is really a very hostile and tough barn to win in at Portland.
Well, you know what, John, it's our guys were just absolutely distraught. If you would have seen the look in their faces, we got up 3-0 early in the game, and they got back 3-2, and we got it to 5-2. Our guys were really excited, and what happened is we just sat back. You know, I may have made a coaching error of trying to go into 1-2-2, but it wasn't the difference in the game. But I think it sent the message that, hey, we're just going to try and hang on here, and it wasn't the right way. And from that point forward, we had the mindset of the coaching staff is we are playing on our toes, and we are pressuring, and we are going forward. And what happened is they got a little bit of luck on a couple goals. We thought one goal should have blown down, but doesn't make a difference now. We're Memorial Cup champions. You don't even look back on that. But it really helped build that shield of armor on us. It made us a lot more, not protected, but just durable. And going into Portland, we just, you know, we talked about on the bus that night, hey, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And as the sun comes up, our energy will get greater. And we had to turn around and play the next day, I think, which was great because we didn't have a day to dwell on it. But our kids had great energy. And, you know, we gave up the first goal in Portland like we gave up the first goal against Guelph in that final. But our guys were just resilient and battled back. And, you know, we got some great goaltending for Tristan Jarry, and we closed that out. And that was an incredible – that seems about – we did that last year, but it was such an incredible run to win that. And two great hockey clubs going toe-to-toe. It was an unbelievable boxing match, if you want to use that analogy. But mm-hmm. And then for us to go in the Memorial Cup and do what we did was just an absolutely storybook ending.
You're listening to an exclusive interview here on Two Sports Nuts with Edmonton Oil Kings coach and Memorial Cup winner Derek Waxlaw. And, Coach, I want to talk now more about the Memorial Cup. It's an interesting format. It's four teams, the three champions of the junior leagues, up there in Canada, as well as the host city. First, more of my curiosity than anything else, how did they determine the host city for this?
Well, it's a bidding process, and what happens is it's determined on how that team looks and where they're going to be at that. They've got to be a very competitive team that will most likely challenge for that league championship. And London has been to the last three Memorial Cups, two as champions, and this year as a host. And this was kind of their year to win it, and they got beat out in the second round of playoffs by Guelph, who was a hell of a hockey club. So they had to wait for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks to get to the Memorial Cup, and they bowed out. They went 0-3. But it's kind of a neat process because you take the three league champions, and then the host team is usually pretty well because they're building their team to host. And they usually have to make a lot of trades at the deadline just to make sure they have a great product going on ice because you want to try and win that at home.
Yeah, the other three teams, first the Edmonton Oil Kings, the three other teams, the Val d'Or Fours, the London Knights, you already mentioned, and the Guelph Storm, who were in the finals. And, Coach, it's a round-robin format. Again, just to bring our listeners up to speed a little bit, round robin format. You go 1-2, but you catch a little bit of a break because when you were there 2 years ago, you had to play that tiebreaker game because I guess it was Valdor, I guess, beat London, knocked them out in the round robin. You got to go right to the semifinals and take on Valdor. How much of a break was that you didn't have to play that tiebreaker?
Well, because we had that double overtime game on the Tuesday night, it worked out well for us because what happened is we ended up having that extra day off. And if we would have had to play that Thursday, we would have had to play London, and then we would have had to play Valdor for sure on Friday. And then you have the day off to play that final on Sunday. So it really is an advantage for the team going through on the round robin to the final because they get 3 or 4 days rest. But sometimes it plays in the cards very well for the team that had just to keep on playing and not even think about what to do and just play the game. And that happened to Shawinigan, where they won their last game 2 years ago. They beat us in the tiebreaker. Then they beat St. John's in the semifinal, and they beat London in overtime in the final. So sometimes it works in your favor that way.
Semifinal game, a little bit of history was made there. It was against, as we talked about, against Valdor. They score a goal late in the third period, tied the game up, and then you decide to go play three overtimes. Curtis Lazar finally ends it positively for the Oil Kings, of course. And we had a four-overtime game down here in Idaho this year. Triple overtime was close. But is this kind of where you go back and look at that Portland series and go, because of difficulties there and having to overcome adversity, you guys knew that you could go ahead and get that next goal?
Well, the resolve that our team has built over the playoffs of the season, we were comfortable playing down or comfortable playing tight in overtime. And we just, you know, we planned that we actually practiced a play that we can maybe use in that game to beat the goaltender and ended up helping with the game winner. But for us, it's just our team has been resilient all year in the playoffs. And you look at that Portland series, and that really helps you, even though we gave up that last goal of 32 seconds. Valdor had a great playoff record, I think 8-4 in the overtime. And I'm sure they were feeling pretty confident. Tristan Jarry actually made three highlight reel saves in overtime to keep the game where it was. And then we actually scored on this goal. And it was an unbelievable game to be a part of. And, you know, it helped set us up for that Sunday game. And you know what, when the game was over, our guys were already focused on the Sunday game. So, and then it was just an incredible tournament.
Talk about that finals game against Guelph. They come out, they get the first goal of the game. I mean, it was so early in the game at that point, you've got to just look at the clock and go, right, there's 55 minutes to go, plenty of time to get it back. And it was interesting how it turned. It went from a game that looked like it had a potential to be really, really close, a nail biter at the end of the game, a 19-net goal, and a couple of goals later, it ends up looking on the scoreboard at least like a blowout. But for anyone who watched the game on the NHL Network, that game was nip and tuck all the way to the end.
Well, it was, you know, and we felt the same way when we lost 5-2 in a round robin. It wasn't a 5-2 game, and I mean, we felt they'd got a couple bounces, but we got some bounces that night, and they scored early where we turned over a puck, and, you know, then we tied it up on a 5-on-3, then they scored again late in the period to go up 2-1. You know what happened? I know, John, if you noticed, but we had a fourth line that didn't play a lot in the Memorial Cup, and I threw them out there just to kind of make sure they get a shift, and what do? They score a goal and tie it up, and our bench just got excited and lifted, and from that standpoint on, I thought we carried the game. We got up 5-2 and missed some really good chances to get up even more. And we felt that we had the stronger goaltender, but both teams are pretty evenly matched up front. And then, you know, and they came out hard at the start of third. They had a real push. They scored a goal. And we scored a big goal on a 2-on-1 to make it 5-3. And at that point on, our guys were really confident. And we just pushed. And then to go up 6-3, it was nice to finish out a game where you knew you were going to win and just kind of enjoy the moment.
The line of the finals game was Edgar Skolda, Henrik Samuelsson, Mitch Moraz got in on the scoring as well, but that line really did a lot of the damage offensively. But I mean, Kolda ends up getting the MVP, and again, from what I could follow during the year through Twitter and whatnot, was that had you seen him building up to something like that? He had I don't know how the exact numbers, but in 4 or 5 games, he had something like 8 or 9 points.
Well, you know what? It's if you look at Eddie Cease, he had a great regular season for us. You know, we lost 150 goals in our lineup from the transition of players last year, and he stepped up and had 30 goals for us, and he had a great playoff. And, you know, we knew that he was capable of having some great games. But, John, we were very sick in the Portland series. We had 12 guys with the flu that played the whole series, and flu just carried over to our hockey club, Memorial Cup. And we got stronger as the tournament went along, as we got healthier. And I felt that everybody was pretty well up to speed in that final game, which couldn't have come at a better time. And Eddie and Sammy and Mitch had a great tournament, and they just really stepped it up in that last game. I think Henrik had 5 points. I think Mitch had two. I think Eddie had three. And it just their leadership and resilience in the line was just unbelievable. And Henrik Samuelsson just willed everybody. Like, mm-hmm. he was so fired up for that game. Like, he wasn't losing. He was going to do everything in his power to win that game. And I thought he just showed tremendous leadership.
Coach, you had 8 players hold over from the Memorial Cup 2 years ago. Was Samuelsson one of those guys?
Yeah, Sammy was 17 that year. Curtis Lazar, Griffin Reinhardt, Cole Benson, Tristan Jarry, Mitch Burrows, Cody Corbett. Those are a pretty good group of kids that were coming back, and a lot of those kids are moving on this year.
Does that help keep the guys focused? I mean, obviously, 2 years ago, it didn't happen the way you wanted to out before the semifinals, but having that group of guys come in and be with the team and go, all right, everyone knows it's all business, but to have 8 guys who have at least been through, all right, here's the practice schedule, here's the media schedule, you talked about that. This is what we're going to go through. Be prepared for this. That's got to help because it's not only coming from you guys, but, you're talking about kids. To hear it from other kids, it really kind of drives the point home.
Yeah, you know what? That experience was invaluable because those players have been through it. They had that experience. They had the calmness, and they knew what it took to win the tournament. Changes, the intensity rises, the game changes. And I thought we did a good job. It was a huge change for our coaching staff, too, because we knew we had to make some adjustments and try and kind of form to the style of play and be ready for what we saw. And I think we got caught a little bit in the first game against Guelph because they played that style, that dump and chase style of zone and skate onto it. And we're a possession team. I think it took us a while to figure out, hey, we got to play a different way. But we got going, and things turned out well for us.
Some of the draft picks you had on your team this year, Henrik Samuelsson, first round to Phoenix. Mitch Moraz, second round to Edmonton. Tristan Jarry, you already mentioned, second round to Pittsburgh. Griffin Reinhardt, 4th overall pick for the New York Islanders. I'm seeing, following the team, following the press around it. Reinhardt, I think you said yourself, Reinhardt will probably be in an Islanders jersey next year. Samuelsson, probably down in Phoenix. You got to figure Jarry will at least get a rookie camp look in Pittsburgh. The one guy not mentioned is Cold at 19 years old. He's draft eligible. We talked about this earlier about how in the ECHL you've gotten to get players that may not make it past the AHL, but here you've got 4, maybe 5 guys, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple, that will probably see NHL ice at some point within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, Henrik Samuelsson and Griffin Reinhardt probably for sure. Mitch Burrows will probably be seen in a couple of years in the ECHL or even the American League, depends on what he does. But, if you look at the guys like Eddie Cool, that's not a strong draft this year. He'll most likely get drafted in the 3rd or 4th round and then most likely come back and be an overage for us to fit those pretenders because he doesn't have to sign, and that allows an NHL team to kind of wait and see what he does. So that's a great opportunity for him. And if they do sign him, then he would play in one of those leagues. But that's part of the process. These kids have opportunities, and we've seen a lot of 19-year-olds drafted out of our league. They're late developers, and some kids get drafted at 17 and takes them a few more years. So it doesn't matter if you're 17, 18, 19, you can still get drafted, and it depends on the strength of the draft. And we may see some more 19-year-olds drafted this year just because it's not a strong, strong draft.
Something else to mention, and I'm 95% certain on this, Coach, not only did you play 98 games, all these kids – By rule or some bylaw, they're taking classes all year long while they're doing this, right? So they've got to split their time between on ice and off ice workouts as well as getting their head in the books.
Yeah, our kids that are in high school still go to school every morning from 8:30 to noon, and then they come in and practice and work out. And then our kids that are graduated take a college course, and they have to do one college course for the year. So their table's full. They have a lot on their mind mentally, and they have a lot on their body physically, and they've really got to balance that, and I think that's the difference. Is if you can get these kids to balance it and face the adversity, it just makes them stronger, and it brings your team together a lot quicker.
Is there any support from the organization with them for schooling? Are there tutors or anything like that? Again, more of a curiosity question.
Oh yeah, you know what? Our organization and a lot of the WHL teams are outstanding. We have school advisors that meet the kids every morning in school, make sure they're ready to go, they look presentable. They have tutors that we'll hire to make sure the kids do well in their classes. I think this Canadian Major Junior Hockey League does a great job of that. And I don't think the USHL gives the WHL a lot of credit on how well our kids are educated, because every year that they go to school, they get a full year of school paid for, and their college to pick. So it's guaranteed. It's not like an NCAA scholarship where you say, hey, we're giving you a full ride, but that's only year to year. Every year you play in the Western Hockey League and you step on that ice for your first game, you get your books and tuition paid for for that year. So it's a pretty good opportunity for the kids. If you don't make the pros, you get 4 years of school. If you played 4 years, you played 5 years, you get 5 years, guaranteed.
That's a pretty nice deal for some of these kids, especially because I think we both know that hockey isn't necessarily anywhere near a guaranteed career. And I think if they still have school in session, I don't know what the school schedule is up there, but the organization has a lot of work to do to make some of these guys presentable with some of the facial hair I saw at the Memorial a couple of weeks or so ago.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you said that, because when we played Valdura on a Tuesday, they actually shaved off all their beards and just trying to change the momentum, change the mold in their dressing room. And so obviously our guys didn't do it. We just kept on what we had, and they shaved their beards after they were finished.
Well, fortunately, they'll all look a little bit better for the wear. Coach, you mentioned Kristen Pelch a little bit. I wanted to kind of bring attention to that, singularly as opposed to part of the whole thing, an accident in the off season back at home. You see it from time to time, you know, where teams will carry jerseys around, and I'm assuming his jersey made it to every single game. It was definitely at the Memorial Cup, definitely at the WHL Finals. But to have something like that, and I feel like it cheapens it to say the team rallied around it, but when you have a guy in a locker room, you can rally around someone like that because you know him personally, you know the situation, and an unfortunate accident, but like you mentioned, it really kind of gave the guys something to focus on, something to really drive home and play for this year.
Well, you know what? When you look back on it, everything plays a part. Every player plays a part. There's moments of every series, moments of every, you know, Memorial Cup, every game, every shift that just, there's something that just inspires you. Maybe it's a newspaper article. Maybe it's something someone says, somebody steps up. But at the end of the day, Christian was part of our team a couple of years ago. He's an Oilers draft pick, part of the organization. He had a bright career, and he had an unfortunate accident when he jumped off a bridge and drowned. And we don't know exactly what happened, but he was a great teammate and a great friend to a lot of our guys in that year. And you know what? It shows you how close these kids get when they play in that team environment and they have a chance to battle and win a championship together and go to a Memorial Cup. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's just these kids, they build bonds, they build friendships that last for a lifetime. And obviously, you know, this incident or Christian's will touch everybody's heart in this organization. And he's, you know, the inspiration that he gave us this year was unbelievable, and it's something that we'll never forget.
Oh, of course, all of our thoughts, and I know you guys' thoughts have been with him and his family all year long. Ours, as well, here from Two Sports Nets, we'll send our thoughts out to that family as well, and wish them all the best. Coach, it's hard to transition out of that to anything else, but the question now going forward, what's next for the Oil Kings? You already talked about maybe going into a little bit, I don't want to call it a down year, but maybe a little bit of a lull. Is that kind of what's next? You just kind of figure out who's coming back. I know you had the draft about a month or so ago. What's the next step for the Oil Kings?
We've got two draft classes that are skating this week in our spring camp, and those players won't be ready to play like the older group won't be ready to play next year. But we've got some players coming in, some 16- and 17-year-old players that are very good that will get a chance to make our hockey club and start bringing that next level. When you build a junior team, you always want to try and have three lines that can play and a real young line, so you're really not leaving yourself empty in the cupboards. And so that's what we're going to try and do. We had five players that didn't play a lot in the finals and in the playoffs, and those players skated every day. So coming through next year, those kids will get a chance to play. And by playing an extra 2 months in the season, that's 2 months of development that these players have ahead of any other team in a winning environment. So those kids get a chance to step up and play some heavy minutes for us next year like they did last year and the year before. So you're always trying to replenish the cupboards as you move along, and that's part of the process with these kids that don't play but get a chance to compete every day and watch, you know, watch the semifinals, watch the finals, watch Memorial Cup and be a part of it.
I would love to ask what's next for Derek Laxdal. I've been seeing a lot of stuff in the Edmonton papers about how you have earned and deserved to get a look at the next level, whether it's AHL, whether it's assistant coach on an NHL bench. Coach, I was unable to find any rumors of you. I can't even speculate. So let me ask it this way. Would you like an opportunity to move up to an AHL team or an NHL team? If you had your pick, other than staying where you're currently at, where would you like to get a phone call from?
Well, it's tough to answer, John. Like, I'm signed here for 2 years. Every coach wants to coach in the National Hockey League if that opportunity comes or not. And my job is to make sure we guide this team and try and prepare for the next level and prepare for that next year coming up. But when you look at the situations arising, I turned down an American League job to come this way. So It would really have to be a special situation, something arose in that aspect. But we'll wait and see here. It's pretty early here. Everything's just starting to kind of move forward now, and we're just cleaning up players getting out of town. We got a spring camp this weekend, and we'll just kind of let it play out and see how it goes from there. And luckily, I'm very fortunate and very blessed to have this job under the contract for 2 more years and see what happens.
Well, and it appears that you have the full support of the Oil Kings organization. They've been able to get you some pretty good players here over the last few years, culminating in more of a couple wins. So one of those situations where maybe if it's not broke, don't try and fix it kind of a situation.
You got that right.
Coach, we're wrapping it up here. I want to say thank you once again for the time. I know you've got 100 other things going on. I know you've got a well-earned vacation here coming up. So I appreciate the time again and coming on. And I know we had some technical stuff, but we were able to figure it out. And I appreciate the effort. And once again, congratulations on not only the WHL title, but probably more importantly, the Memorial Cup Championship as well.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate your time.